Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can contemplate on your leading in our lives. We pray that you please continue to be with us. Help us to continually follow you. Now we commit our life in your hands today and ask you to be with us. Lead us now. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm very happy to be able to share my testimony with you today. I don't know if I've shared it with you before, or maybe you've heard bits and pieces of it, but the very fact that I'm here today is based on choices that I made 20 years ago. And so when I sort of consider the way God's led me in the past, I'm very happy to be able to share this with you. And I want to start with a psalm, Psalm 31, and it's Psalm 31:3. Okay, and this is how it goes. It goes that, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." So this is only my testimony. Everyone has their own testimony, the way that God leads and guides. So actually what I want to do today is just to encourage everyone to just follow the way God leads and guides them, because when you look back, if you just be amazed about the way God leads and guides us. And so I was born into a family. My mother was an Adventist. My father he was an Adventist, but he was a backslidden Adventist, so he started drinking. So we grew up in a home that with a father that drank all the time. So we wouldn't know from one night to the next he's going to be sober or he's going to be drunk. And so when he was drunk, of course, he would cause all sorts of problems. Now, we'd have to, in the middle of the night, we'd often have to flee away, you know, because he'd be throwing things around, screaming, yelling till all hours of the night. And then sometimes he'd pull out the rotor out of the car so we couldn't get away. So I sort of grew up in that sort of household. So I ended up, even though my mother was an Adventist, I ended up outside the faith and doing things that I shouldn't do. And it wasn't until I was about 18, no, not 18, so I was about 21, that God sort of started to talk to me. Because at that time I had no education, I'd wrecked my education, I didn't listen at school. I was working probably since 14 or 15, doing labouring jobs, brickies labouring, all that sort of thing. And so I had no education. So at 18, I decided to start going back to night school. So that sort of started to settle me down. So it was that time God could start to communicate with me, you know. And it was in the middle of that time that I really wanted to be an architect. That was my goal. And this is what I wanted to do. And then God started telling me, no, I don't want you to do architecture. And I just wouldn't listen for 2 years. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do architecture. And so I had my mind set on architecture. And then it was in 1991 that I actually got accepted into college to do architectural drafting. And then on the day that I went there, I paid my money, I went then, I was sitting in the back of the room, and I felt impression from God, you shouldn't be here. And I sort of thought, well, what should I do then? You know, so I refunded the money. I went home. I told my mother what I was doing, and she thought that I was crazy. What are you doing? You know, that I didn't have any education at that stage. I only finished night school. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do either. So that's what I did. I just had to wait on what God was going to do. And then I happened to meet these Japanese people, these Japanese students. And I had a friend that was in Korea. He was teaching English. So I thought, well, that's what I might do. I might go and teach English in Korea. Even though English was my worst subject, I failed it in school. So it's hardly likely that I should have been an English teacher. But then, you know, I met these Japanese people and they said to me, well, why don't you teach English in Japan? And I thought, well, Japan, I didn't really think much about it. And then What happened was about 2 weeks later, in the record, came up an advertisement for teaching English in Japan. I thought, that's crazy, you know? Is it a coincidence or what? And then, so I thought, this is God's leading for sure, right? So I got all the passports ready and everything, and then they told me that I'd been unsuccessful, the position had been filled. So I thought, well, that's just strange. So then I thought, well, maybe God wants me to go another direction then. So then I started just waiting again, and then a little while later they actually sent me a telegram, a letter, I think it was a letter. We didn't use emails in that day, and I didn't have a commuter anyway. And so they said that the positions opened up in Japan. So actually this is where I want to start from today. I want to talk about the way God's led me and why I'm so interested in health work, mission work, and foreign languages. So I just wrote this. This is something that I've sort of paraphrased from the Bible and Ellen White. Okay, it just says, "Let us fear lest we forget all the way that the Lord hath led us in the wilderness on toward the promised land." Okay, so it's just basically it does us good to remember all the way that God has led us in the past, because it can keep us going and encourage us to keep letting Him lead and guide us. And it's just amazing, like when you look back and think, that's amazing that God led me there, He did that and that. And so this is what I want to talk about today. This is actually the teachers in Japan. So that was when I first went to Japan, and that was actually the first time I'd been overseas. I'd never planned actually to go overseas. I'd never been exposed to foreign languages before, and so that was quite a learning experience. And that was the first step in God's path for me to learn new things, because I had to, I grew up in a family where my father was an alcoholic. My mother, she went to church, but, you know, there was many things that she didn't teach me, right? I mean, I read the Spirit Prophets and I read the Bible, but I needed other people to guide it too. So when I was in Japan, you know, I learned a lot of things from my colleagues. And this was one of the colleague on the, I think it's your right, your left, Cedric. He was my roommate, and he taught me about the Sabbath, the importance of the Sabbath, and he taught me a lot of other things too. And so he was my colleague at Harajuku. And this was just the Bible, some of the Bible classes that we're taking with the Japanese people. And this is a Vespa group that they used to have in Japan. And this is a Japanese family that I was able to become friends with. And that's just Japanese clothing. And that's just potluck in Japan. I had an experience in Japan. I had a few experiences in Japan. One experience was I lost my wallet on the train in Tokyo, Tokyo's, that transport system is massive, right? And there's, you know, probably no way I could have found that, but, you know, we prayed about it, and end up it got handed in, and I found it. And this, another experience I had in Japan was, I was climbing up Mount Fuji with some of my colleagues, and Mount Fuji, I think, is about 3,700 meters high. And then when we got up the top, we watched the sunrise, and then we went down. But I went down the wrong side of the mountain. So, you know, it's a long way down, and I hadn't eaten all night. I was tired. And then the bus was going to leave at about 1 o'clock the next day. I had no contact. I had no money. So, you know, I was in big trouble. So, you know, all I could do at that stage was just pray. You know, I said, Lord, it's my fault, you know, for not keeping with the group. But can you please you know, help me. So, you know, the Lord helped me, gave me strength to run up the mountain and run across. And the others, I caught them just as they were coming down. So I didn't miss the bus. So that was an answer to prayer in Japan. So Japan played a big part in me actually going to Taiwan. So if it wasn't for Japan, I wouldn't have gone to Taiwan, because I never would have thought about Taiwan. Taiwan was the first place that we stopped on our orientation to do mission work, and it was a place that I went to after I... So that's leaving Japan and going to Taiwan. So when I went to Taiwan, the first place I went was Kaohsiung Church, and Kaohsiung, there was a young lady there, which is now my wife, Fanny. And so before I left Australia, I prayed that I could have a wife that would love God, would do whatever He wanted, and that would help me in the mission work. And God answered that, and He introduced me to Fanny. So, you know, Fanny played such a very important part in my life for many reasons, right? I learned so many things from her. She's been like a work colleague with me doing mission work. You know, she supports me in whatever my plans are. You know, she's just been an answer to prayer from God. And, you know, when I think back, she is the one that God has chosen for me, you know. And because there's a number of times that I could have chosen someone else, right? And God was saying, no, this is the one. And so, and when I think back, yeah, that's right, that was God's choice. That really was. And like, when I continue to share with you today, you'll see how this sort of really is the case, you know. Like, I wanted to do mission work. I always wanted to do mission work, right? But, you know, how do you do mission work? There's so many avenues to do mission work. You know, there's English teaching, like I was teaching in Japan, English teaching. You know, there's many different kinds of ways to do mission work. And we need to find a way that's, you know, best for us. And Fanny, actually, she was a nurse. She was working actually beside that the church as a nurse in a clinic. And so at that stage, Sebastian, you know, Sebastian Tay, he introduced her to the health, the medical missionary work, the natural remedies and things like that. So she quit her job there, and she went to Malaysia, to America, to learn about these things, right? And so at that stage, I wasn't thinking about doing medical missionary work. I was doing English teaching, and I wasn't sure that I could even do it. So that's just, we're working together. We're doing testimonies at churches and doing that sort of thing. So it's in our younger days. And these were my colleagues at Taiwan at the Kaohsiung English School. And so that dark lady there, she's the one that sort of played a bit important role in getting us together. I was sort of taking my time, and she sort of wanted to hurry things up. So, with Fanny, that is. And so that other Norwegian guy, he ended up becoming a minister. So, you know, he also played an important part in helping me in my spiritual walk to where I am today. So, you know, lots of people, our journey, our testimonies are always combined with other people, encouragement from other people, these sorts of things. This is when I was teaching English, my English classroom in Kaohsiung, and that's when I was preparing Bible lessons. I'd never done that before, so that was a new learning experience for me. It was a typewriter, electronic typewriter, not a computer. And actually, preparing those Bible lessons also set up a foundation for me in the future when I was actually teaching the Bible in Taiwan. And also, it started to get give me an interest in learning Chinese, because before that I didn't have any interest, so I started to learn Chinese at that stage. And this is some of my students at Pingdong, because I was moved around to quite a few places in Taiwan. I was moved from Kaohsiung to Pingdong, then to, I think, Taizong, and then Jai, and back to Pingdong, I think. So it was a fair few places. And so I got lots of experience, you know, from doing Bible lessons and a lot of lessons learnt from my colleagues. So it was a good experience. And this is just some of the outreach we were doing there with the medical missionaries there. They're not medical missionaries, they're teachers actually. But Fred, he's the guy on the left, he was into health. He's a German guy, and I was living with him for some time, so he taught me a lot of things also. And then when I got engaged, which was 1995, I think it was, I had to go meet, well, this is before I got engaged, I had to go meet the brothers. This is Fanny's brothers, and I had to explain to them what I was going to do, how I was going to support their sister and all sorts of things like that. And so, fortunately, they accepted me into the family. And this relationship has really been very important for us, because from these brothers, right, two of them have accepted the Lord. The one on the left, the second from the left, he actually got esophageal cancer. So the last time we were in Taiwan, which was in 2010, I think it was 2009 or 10, he actually accepted the Lord because of the medical. We're actually able to serve him, and he accepted God. And then the other guy, which is on your right, second from the right, which is Fanny's second eldest brother, he also accepted the Lord, and he's Adventist now. So this relationship that we had with the family and with each other sort of has helped to bring these ones in. And also, I forgot to mention that Fanny's mother also come into the faith also. So Fanny always wanted to set up a health food store in Taiwan, and this store was really important for the later foundation for the later work that we were to do. And it was called the Tree of Life, and Fanny's nephew was a sign writer. He's no longer a sign writer, but he actually made the sign for it. And this is the actual store that was set up, and that was quite successful. And this is some of the health lectures that were taking place in that store. So some of the, when we started up the health work later on in Taiwan, it was those people, some of those people there that actually came to the place where we were doing the work. So it sort of set up the foundation for that. And that's after that we got a court marriage. We had to do that because that was a legal thing. And then we got married, which was 1996. Yeah. And all the signs there, the way God worked, this was really good. It cost us very little money. A lot of the music was church people. They donated. We cooked ourselves. I think the signs were made by the nephew, which was a sign writer. And so the Lord really blessed us in that area. And then this is the connection here. So Susan is on the right there, and that's Fanny. So Susan was Fanny's bridesmaid. And so later on, this relationship will influence the Robert family. And so that's the that's our wedding, which was a team effort. After we got married, I came back and I studied linguistics, which was majoring in Chinese and Japanese. And Fanny decided, while I was studying, she wanted to do something else. So she ended up at Living Valley Springs, and that's where she met Peter Roberts. And then we were also outreaching to the Chinese community there. Now, how this happened was that when I was learning Chinese, I was having a holiday with my auntie on Stradbroke Island. And there was a lady there who happened to be there from Sunnybank, right? She was Chinese, so I decided I'm going to go over and talk to her. Right, so I went over and talked to this lady, Bonnie, her name is Bonnie Lin, and, you know, I told her that, you know, I had a Chinese wife, and she invited us up to her place. So she actually became very good friends with Fanny, and we started to run programs together. And the result of that was her daughter end up becoming one of our church members. So she became an Adventist, Joyce. Sure, she got into the health work. She became an Adventist too. So, and then this is one of the programs that we were running, that Fanny was leading up there at Sunnybank, and they went for quite a time there. And then this is the team at Living Valley Springs in the younger days. I think that was before 2000, and that's where Peter met Fanny, and that's where Susan met Peter. So Fanny invited Susan over, and then the rest is history. So what I was saying is that the choices that we make, the way that we choose to follow God, it really influences a lot of lives. You know, like if I had have chosen not to go to Japan. And there was a time in Japan that I actually wanted to go home. I was had enough. I was going home. And I thought to myself, if you'd go home, you're not going to learn the lessons that God wants you to learn. So if at that point I had chosen to do that, then you see how many things would have been influenced. There's so many lives that would have been different if I had have done that. And at Living Valley Springs, we met Rom DeMuchel. Do you remember Rom? He has been such a blessing to us in our work. He's now passed away, but whenever we were in need of help, he was there. He came to visit us in Taiwan. You know, if there's one reason, not only reason, but if there's one reason why I would want to keep doing the health work, is because of that man. He was just such a saint. You know, the amount of time, the amount of effort, the amount of support that he gave us sort of is invaluable, you know. And I can't wait till I get to heaven to thank that guy, because he is just amazing. There was just sometimes that, you know, I was going to give up the work, and he was always there, encouraged me, keep going, keep doing it. Jesus is coming, you know. So, you know, I really like to remember this guy. He's just amazing. And, you know, he's resting now. And this was, he came and visited us when we were in Liu Kuei, we're doing the work. And this is our working place. You know, this is such an amazing experience. This is where I first started to realize the power of the health work. You know, how it can really influence and touch people's lives. And it's just amazing some things that happened at this place. You know, that wasn't much of a place. If you have a look at it, that's no mansion, right? But, you know, God used that place, and this was just some of the things we were doing. We had to go in, we had to prepare the place, we had to paint it, do all sorts of things to prepare it, to get it ready for accepting people so that we could do a program. And so I had to build a toilet. There was no, well, we had one toilet, we had to build two toilets because we're doing cleansing programs. So I had to build a second one, and that's what we had to do. So we had to carry all the concrete in by hand, and this is what it was like after we'd sort of finished it up. And that's just some of the food we were preparing. So this was our first guest. Her name was Mei Lan. She had breast cancer. she was a result of the cooking classes that were going on. And she stayed with us, I think, for a couple of months. You know, at that stage, we were just breaking even. All the money that we were getting, we were putting out, because it was all organic vegetables, right? But you know what kept us going was our wages was, you know, seeing people accept the Lord, and you know that's what was keeping us going. And you know, when she decided to accept the Lord, we were just so happy. And you know, we often think that cancer is a bad thing or disease is a bad thing, but you know, I asked her, well, if you hadn't had cancer, would you have accepted the Lord? And she said, no, I wouldn't. And she said, I'm glad I got cancer. And she was such an amazing lady, really amazing. And that was her baptism. She wanted to be baptized in the river, and that's what happened. She got baptized in the river, and she passed away. I think it was a couple of years later. We kept in contact with her. We went, you know, visiting her. We went to her funeral, and she was actually improving. And what happened was, she had a very, very bad husband. He's really bad. You know, we actually told her, if you don't separate from him, you're going to die, because he just didn't love her at all. And she said, well, the Bible says I have to stay together. So that was, you know, that was her decision. She was willing to do that. And what he actually did was he forced her to sign all her insurance money over to him. He threatened her. And then once she'd done that, he wouldn't pay for a nurse to look after her in her terminal stages. He wouldn't, all the good food that she was getting, he'd throw to the dogs and make her eat oily food, white rice, all that sort of thing. So, you know, he really was a cause of her death. But she was faithful to the end. You know, when we visited her, we asked her, are you frightened? Are you scared? No, I know that I'm going to see the Lord. And that's the way she died. And that's, you know, when we were doing this work, like further into it, we were sort of asking, well, you know, what's happening? You know, you're getting a lot of people with cancer and they're passing away. But, you know, that really isn't a bad thing, because someone who passes away in the Lord is in a safer position than someone has to keep battling and fighting on in this world. And, you know, these people are so blessed because they're out of Satan's grasp. They can't be influenced. And the next thing they're going to see is they're going to see the Lord. This was some of our Bible studies that we were doing. And that was a stage that I was sort of getting, sort of learning how to speak Chinese. And so I praise the Lord that I was able, after a bit of time, to actually give Bible studies in Chinese. And this is some of our guests from... We used to get a fair few guests. They've all got their own stories, and they're really good. And this lady here, she was, I think she had lymphoma or something, and she kept going for years and years. That's our first car on the right. Originally, we had a motorbike, and then this was a car. It was donated to us by someone. They didn't want it, and it kept us going for years, you know, before we could get another car. And it was just such a godsend, that car. And we were doing all our shopping in it, and for the program. And so that's just some of the guests. I think probably Peter, you'll know Jume. Jume is up there, and she was with us for a couple of years. And that's just the Bible studies we're doing there again. And this guy, an old man, he was with us. So these sort of connections we still maintain. So if you wonder why we get a lot of visitors, it's because of this. Because of this program, you know. It's because of doing this work. That's how come we've made so many friends. And it's sort of like a friendship. It's sort of a friendship ministry sort of thing. It's a really good method to win people. And actually, I think He used to be a very analytical guy, so we were able to share with him about the gospel. And he ended up accepting the Lord as his Savior. He ended up dying, I think, maybe a couple of years later, but you know, he accepted Jesus. And this is our next van. So that was the van we had after our car. We got rid of our car. I think we gave it to the scrap metal people. And then we got this one. And this one was a real blessing because this enabled us to carry people, more people. And actually, we ended up selling that to a minister. So he still got it. He said he's saving up for us when we come back. He's been waiting a long time. So, okay, so this is a very special picture because this is the connection between William. All right, so this picture was a picture of the baptism that took place. And this is me just talking about baptism in my broken Chinese at that stage. This is William's auntie. She had cancer. And she came to our place. We attempted to help her, and she accepted the Lord and she was baptized. So important key in the whole thing. Afterwards, her sister became an Adventist, Mei Hong, which is William's mother, and then William became Adventist. And then the father's going to get baptized recently, probably after a little bit of time. And then that was her funeral. So she ended up passing away, but we were there, and the pastor was able to share at the funeral about the hope that we have. And this is an amazing thing. These monks. They'd never heard the message of Jesus before. And, they're learning to cook. Monks, they don't eat very healthily, actually. They eat a lot of fried food. They're vegetarians, but they eat a lot of that processed meats and stuff. So they get a lot of problems. I think they had high blood pressure or something. So they were learning. And, they'd never heard about Jesus before. And when we started to teach them about God, they were sort of going Amitofel at the thing because they thought we were going to brainwash them. But, after a while, they sort of let their guard down and they started to learn. And that's them there. And then we lost contact with them. So when we were in Liu Kuei, we also were able to do Bible studies. I did Bible studies with a lady. Actually, I don't know how I did it. But it was in Chinese, so she ended up giving her life to the Lord, and that was her baptism there. And in Liu Kuei, we were also able to have a revival, a little meeting where we invited a number of people. And this was just a Bible study we had, and then these four ladies, they dedicated their life to the Lord. Unfortunately, two of them, one didn't make the commit, follow through with it because of the husband. The other one sort of left, but the other two are left anyway. But we did our part, so that's all we can do. But we still maintain a contact with them. So every time we come back, they want to see us. So this is their baptisms, and that's Mei Hong, her baptism. Her commitment, and now the connection there is that that family had bought a block of land in Taiwan and they want to use that to start a health ministry. So that's a really important step also in that, and that's the whole family there. The father is on the right, so he's the one that's him and his mother are going to get baptized. He told us soon, and you've met the daughter. I think she came over last time. This was a young lady that she was terminal. She had terminal kidney cancer. She was a Catholic. She was very scared because she was only 23, I think, 21 or 23. Shaolin. You know, she initially come to us, ask us what she should do. She decided to go to get chemotherapy. We said, well, it probably won't go too well with chemotherapy, but she decided to do that. So after she decided to do that, it didn't work. So then she come back to us. She had lots of pain. She was scared. And we were able to share the gospel with her. And she, after she went back, we put her in contact with the pastor. The pastor went and visited her and was able to share, keep on, continuing on what we started. And then she gave her life to the Lord. And, before she died, because we used to go and visit them in hospital, we asked her, "Are you scared to die? What are you feeling?" She said, "I'm not scared. I know that I'm going to see the Lord when he comes." That is such a beautiful thing, to hear these people say these sorts of things, And the mother sort of thanked us afterwards. She said, "Thank you," because, she was originally so scared, but she approached death so gracefully, with a smile on her face. And it was just an amazing experience. And this is her. You'd never know that she had terminal cancer. And that's her mother beside us. And that's just such a good thing. And this is actually why I'm so interested in cancer. This is why I'm so interested in the health work, because I feel that this work, I saw something that was so special, This is another couple of ladies. The lady in the middle, you could say, with the red t-shirt, she was another terminal cancer patient. She had a terminal brain cancer, they'd tried everything. They'd used the best chemotherapy. They'd used everything. And, the husband was just desperate. And she was scared. At that stage, she was in a lot of pain. And we wanted to share gospel with her because we didn't know how long she had till she was going to pass away. And then, she originally didn't want to learn, She said, "Why?" So we sort of said to her, "Well, when you were healthy, did you have time? And now you're sick, you don't have time. When will you have time?" And she sort of said, "Fine, yeah, right." So we were able to share with her, and she gave her life to the Lord, and she passed away. This was another lady. She was also another cancer person with cancer that had left the faith, and she came back to the faith after she came and stayed with us at Liu Gui. And that's just a group of people. There's some lady on the in the red. That was my former student from Kaohsiung. And so we kept in contact with her. And there's Sebastian up there also, which Sebastian has played a big part in our lives too, because he's always been sort of there. He's been everywhere, actually. There's another couple of guests. Her husband, who was a very wealthy man, he had all the money in the world. He could have lived, but he wanted to eat what he wanted to eat, and he ended up dying. Liver cirrhosis became liver cancer, and then, he ended up passing away. But this lady, she's... I think last time when we went, we met her again, and she's helped us out. And this guy, I won't say much more. This is another story, a pretty amazing story. This young lady, she had depression. She was actually. At our places, a lot of interesting things happen. Like at Liu Gui, this girl was trying to stab her mother in our place, right? She had depression. I think she had some of the mental issues, right? And she was wanting to eat all the time. So after she actually went through the cleansing program, changed her diet, she started to think clearly. She was able to think, and her mother told us, she can think. She started to plan things and things like that. So, health, the health changing your diet does change your thinking, and it does you know, help a lot of areas in our life, not only health but our thinking. This is another really amazing story here. This lady, that's Jume's grandma, she come to the place where we're at Liu Kuei, and she's just, I don't want to know, you know, about it. Right, and then, because she's sitting there, we're doing the Bible studies every day, every morning, and then one morning she says, I want to be baptized. What? I want to be baptized. So, yeah, sure enough, she wanted to be baptized, and she committed her life, you know, and that wasn't an easy decision for her, because all her family is Taoist. No one in there was actually Adventist, except for Jume, but Jume wasn't there much. And so Jume was there with us at that stage, and so she gave her life to the Lord. She was baptized in the pool, I think some way from Liu Kuei. This young lady, mother used, there's a few people who used to send their children to us because they couldn't deal with them. So we ended up with a lot of our young children that sort of the family wanted us to help out with. And so this is one of the young ladies, and so we're able to share with her about the gospel too. This is just some more of our guests there. The old lady in the middle is Fong Lan's mother. You know Fong Lan, Susan? Fong Lan's mother. And she ended up giving her life to the Lord too, so she's baptized in the bathtub. And so that was a bathtub we had there at Liu Kuei. And we just did the bathroom up with flowers and that's Romans 6 up there. And that's her there. And I had to make bread there. I do a lot of cooking. I haven't done so much cooking recently. But I was the main sort of bread winner there, you could say. I think we used to make bread every Tuesday or something. I used to get up at 3 o'clock and have to make bread, and then we used to sell it. Try and make some extra money. And that's all the balsa, sort of the steam bread that we used to make, used to pack it and used to sell it to everyone around. So the Philippines, when we're in Taiwan, we have a friend that's very interested in the Philippines, Bruce Hammer. And Bruce said, why don't you come with us to the Philippines? So we did. We said, okay, we'll go with you to the Philippines. And it was a month effort. And what happened here was, we were in a village, I think it was Calamar in Mindoro province. And the Roman Catholics got wind that we were in the town. So they started telling everyone, don't go. Adventists are holding meetings, don't go. And so the crowd was getting less and less. And then what happened was there was a blackout. And we're the only ones with the generator in the whole place. And so what happened is everyone turned up at the meeting. And so that was pretty amazing. And so that's just the people that were there. And this was, we were also teaching massage to people in that place. And that was really amazing experience for us too, because there's a number of things. There was one guy. He had urinary retention. He was bloated. He was going to go to the hospital. And so what we did is we put hot packs on his abdomen, and we massaged him, and he was able to go to the toilet. There was another girl, which was in another place, which is the next place we're at, Matula Tula. She couldn't walk for years, and Fanny was able to go to help her, do treatments on her, and the Lord healed her, and she... You know, she was able to go back to school. And there's a lot of things. The God was really working there. There was another time that there was a guy having a girl having an epileptic fit in the classroom. They heard that we were there, so they come and got us, and then so were able to put cane pepper under her tongue, and she came too. And It was good, and this was the result of that effort. There's Bruce Hammer there. And this was from Matula Tula, which was inland province. And those were the people who gave their hearts to the Lord. On the last night, I think it was a baptism night, they didn't turn up, and we thought, what was going on? So we had to go and find them, and I think that guy, I think the neighbour was after him, or one other lady was busy with children, so you know, we were able to encourage them to come and you know, continue on with their commitment to the Lord. I think it was at that place that Bruce, a guy was trying to shoot him or something, and then he got away with his life, fortunately. This was the baptism. Those people got baptized. When we were doing that work, the pastor, you know, the pastor said to Bruce Hammer, he said, that is amazing, you know, the impact that the health work can have on bringing souls to the Lord. And that was just another sort of, you know, example of the power of this, combined with, you know, God, combined with health work, like Ellen White says, it's just such a powerful medium. And that's why I'm still in it, because, you know, that's just, it's just amazing. When we were in Taiwan, we also had a chance to do a number of, evangelistic programs. So this is one old man that's given his life to the Lord there. Okay, so the next sort of stage in the journey of my life was when we were in Taiwan, we come back to Living Valley Springs in 2003, and we met these ladies, which were from Okinawa. Okay, so that was that connection, sort of that Japanese connection again. So it was, I think it was about 2007, I actually flew over to Okinawa to do some programs there. And then I met another person, Ishii-san, which is the head of NKK in Japan, which is, they're really involved in the health work in Japan. So that's sort of who I'm communicating with at the moment, that lady. So, okay, after we come back from Australia, we packed all our stuff before we go to Australia into that place at Liu Kuei. We went to Australia and then we come back, and then after that we moved to another place, and this was another house that we had that we were renting. So we go and we'd search the place that we were going to work at for accommodation, and then we pick a place and then we start to work from that place. And this is the second place that we had, and this is what we had to do. It was in a bit of a bad way, so we had to put new walls on it, paint it, had to repaint it like we had to do at Liu Kuei. We had to make a steam room out the back. That was in construction. I'd never done metal work to that stage, so we were trying to make alternative guest accommodation. That's what the result was. So we made a shipping container with doors and a roof on it for guest accommodation. And that's sort of, I didn't separate those because that's what it was like before and that's after. So we cleaned it up. And that's sort of the before and after pictures. And that's the kitchen, what it was like and how we cleaned it up. And then that's just some of the pictures. And that's just that other one again. And this is sort of the church. The church was very helpful to us over there. They got in, they helped us. And this is a Bible study with the church members. And this lady here, she was one of the guests at that place. She ended up giving her life to the Lord. And she led her husband to give her life to the Lord. And that's her in baptism. So she's giving her life to God in baptism there. And that's Bi Wei and Yang Wei. So they gave their life to God there. And this was the ramp, making it disabled access there. Just a little ramp so that
people with disabilities can get there. These are the friends that we made, which I think, do you remember the young lady that come with us, I think a couple of years ago? There was a young lady and a young man, Tawi, do you remember her? That's a Tawi's relative. Okay, so, this couple, this lady here, her husband, which is in the back, he had terminal liver cancer, was end stage. He only found it when it was end stage. So she was sort of really grieving. So we had to work a lot with people who are, you know, looking at losing loved ones and, you know, able to encourage them. And this lady, she had depression. So she was, able to have a relaxing time there, and we were able to teach her about the Bible. We always attempted to teach them about the Bible, because we never knew if we could see them again. We never knew if they were going to die or what's going to happen to them. So we always wanted to teach them about the salvation through Jesus. And this is our connection with Zoe. So Zoe, that's Zhang Laoshi and Suru. You've met Suru. Okay, they've been long-term friends with us, especially since we're in Fuli, coming to visit us. And so they've... Their lives have also been changed. Like, you know, the health work has... They practice the health principles. And that's why Zoe has come to Australia to learn more about health. And then what happened was we added another one to the church, which was our little girl, Abigail. And she was born in Taiwan. And she sort of brought an abrupt end to our work, sort of. Because we had to look after people and look after her, and so we decided to come back to Australia for 4 years. And now I want to tell you about this one. You may not know about this one, but Raphael was born in Australia, in Living Valley Springs. He was a very complicated birth. He was premature, 6 weeks. That was the first thing. Fanny started bleeding, so I had to rush her to the Nambour Gympie Hospital. And then when she got to Gympie, the placenta started to come away from the womb. So it was complicated. So then I drove her to Nambour. And then Nambour said that he was breech. And then they were going to do a cesarean. And then when they were going to do the cesarean, he come out, and they used the forceps on him. And then... After that, then he couldn't swallow milk. It kept coming up. So then they did an x-ray and found out that his esophagus wasn't joined up. It just come just down to here, and the other bit was joined into his trachea. So have you ever heard him cough? We call it tough cough. Okay, and it's because his esophagus was originally joined into the trachea. So when they cut it, that part of the trachea is not as strong and sensitive. So if he does exercise, or if he does if he gets upset or something, he'll cough, because it's sort of like a little bit like asthma. It's not asthma, but that's the sort of thing. It gets irritated. That was a very difficult surgical procedure. It was like he was only 1.5 kilos, so he's very small. You know, they had to cut across here, deflate his lung, join it back up, and the high risk, he could have been infected, he could have, it could have leaked, you know, so many things could have happened, and we were really praying there that God can save his life, and he did, he saved his life. Praise God for that. He had all these tubes hanging out of him everywhere, breathing tubes. I think he had a central line in, because he couldn't feed, because he had that repair going on. And 1 month we were there with him in the hospital. And God pulled him through. So he got you're better. So, and so this is sort of my testimony. It took. There's a few slides there. It was about 92, and I just want to. This is something I've made up. Our lives, our testimonies are continually being written every day. And God, you know, He's the author of it, and it's up to us to allow Him to continually lead and guide us. And so I'm happy that, it's not imperfect. I've made mistakes. But at least I'm happy that I've allowed God to lead and guide. Because if I hadn't have done that, then I would have missed out on so many blessings and meaning in life. And I just wrote this as, if any one of us decide to go our own way, who knows whose lives will be affected, who knows who will not know Jesus, who knows whether they themselves will be saved. The only safe path is to follow God's leading. And so, really, it's really so true, you know, like if at any point I had a decided no, you know, it would have influenced other people. So, this is basically my testimony for today anyway. I hope that it's brought encouragement to people. I just bow. Dear Father in Heaven, we're so thankful that You are the author of our book. Every chapter, every line, every paragraph You write. We pray You please help us to follow Your will for our lives, that others may come to the knowledge of You, and that in the end we may end up saved into the kingdom of heaven. We pray that You please lead and guide us continually. And thank You so much for all the guiding and leading that You've done in the past. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.